Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
So, yesterday, her significant other sends me a text. God gave me this message. I'm like, great. Everybody gives their everything. Wonderful. And I realize, I'm sitting here realizing that at prophetic school Thursday, he got a prophetic word that, oh, he was going to preach, you know. How did that go? Come on up here.
Ron had gotten a word that stated, actually Dan started it.
Yeah, Dan started
it. Dan started it and had a, it was your fault, Dan, you started that, about being very significant in the church, being very significant in the community. Well, as soon as that ended, Ron followed that up with, you do know you're here to be a preacher and be a pastor in this church. And then, what was the phrase you followed it up with after that? Once you graduate from the big wheel to the big deal, I'll give you the power to heal.
There it was. That's right. Yeah, it was. Yeah. So he sends me his...
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, you ought to write that down because I don't remember it. So he sends me a message God gave him. And so I'm texting back. And I said, listen, there's some messages, the core messages God gave me 20, 25 years ago. I'm just now preaching because I've taken the revelation, the core of that revelation I have 20, 25 years ago. So I'm doing the pastoral, you know, basically, yeah, keep maturing and someday God will let you preach. And God said, he's part of this family and tomorrow's family day. And so he didn't realize it. He walked in and about 15 minutes ago, I said, oh, by the way, you're preaching. And I gave Susie the scriptures because he sent it to me. And so today we have a guest speaker. And then we have Glenn and Vivia is going to share with us.
Good morning. So after Thursday, I went home and I prayed on that and had a conversation with Jess and Ed as far as what that means and what that states. And I've been going back and forth with the Lord and trying to figure out what the calling was or what the reasoning was. That exact question, why are we here? And I kind of got rebuked. I don't know if that's because of who my spiritual father is. That just kind of comes with the territory. But the Lord rebuked me and said, you know, you're expecting an answer from the house. You're expecting an answer from your father. You're expecting an answer from somebody within your house in the church. I've already given you the answer 3 weeks ago, but you choose not to listen to me, so I don't know what you're waiting on. Ouch. So I sat there and I have been praying over the last several weeks, and especially in this regard this week. And I said, Lord, I hear you, I understand that, but when it comes to respect and family, I'm not going to step on toes. I said, so if I'm going to be the one to step on the toe, you put the foot in front of me. And then Thursday happened. So, and then we had the conversation afterwards and during that time, and Pastor Charlie said, by the way, you're preaching Sunday, and it was a joke. And we sat up here and we laughed about it for a minute, and then yesterday I'm sitting at work, and all of a sudden, Lord downloads this message. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm not very well versed in the scripture. I know it, but I'm not, I can't plug and play everything. He goes, okay. He goes, well, let me do it for you. I don't know why you're not asking the question. I said, okay. So I pull up this sheet and he goes, that one, that one, that one, and that one. So I go down and download and write everything he wants me to write. And I go, well, is this going to flow? He goes, you really are like your daddy. I gave it to you. So just do it. And I said, okay. So the message is titled, Who We Are in the Father and Recognizing His Gifts to Us. And what that means is we all go through trials and tribulations within our professional and personal lives. I think most of you understand the ones that I've been going through and my family's gone through for the last 3-4 months since we walked in here. How many of us have ever wondered if we did something wrong in God's eyes when situations like that happen? That's not a show of hands, Steele. That's a rhetorical question. But my point on that, and you look at Proverbs 22:29, is verse 29, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. Now, when that jumps off the page to me, we don't realize that in the scripture, it parallels us looking in the mirror. We're so quick to puff out our chests when we have successes within our journey. We're so quick to go all nice and warm and gooey because we think we're daddy's favorite. And then something hits us to knock us down a peg, and we think we're the ones that screwed up, when realistically, he's teaching us more in those times than he are when it's warm and gooey. In that piece, we feel unworthy at that time when those trials and tribulations are happening. That's on us. That's not him. When serving the king doesn't go to plan, we have to realize it's not our plan to begin with. It's his. So if we're going to sit there and go, oh, I must have screwed up. I must have done something. He's teaching us more wisdom in those times than he's teaching us when things are going right. Perfect example. Things are going right. I sat up here and I shared the fact that I got a new job. A week later, I backed my car into a tree in the driveway. Shattered the entire car in the rear end. That was fun. And Jess next to me going, And I sat there and I went, okay. I immediately knew it was a test because things were going right. I learned more in that 10 minutes when all of the processing and anger and frustration, because it was my own doing. I was looking at a cell phone. Don't text and drive. That's my thing today. I was looking at my cell phone backing down the driveway thinking I was all that in a bag of chips and forgot there was a tree behind me. In the past, Jess and Ed and Delaney would have gone to church by themselves, and I would have sat home and I would have stewed. I would have sat home, I wouldn't have said a word for 3 days, and I would have sat there going, Lord, I don't have money, so I guess I'm walking to my new job. And then after the laugh, they both looked at me and said, get back in the car, we're going to church. The car is the resource. We're going to talk to the source today. And in that moment, C is still a passing grade. Even if you don't, if you pass the test, it's still a passing grade. I almost failed, but C is still passing. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, and they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Me showing up to church that day meant more to him than I realized in that particular moment, because it wasn't about us. It's not about me. It's about knowing that when the test, and even if you get a C and it's a passing grade, you're still there, you're still the light, you're still shining for him. We are the Father's children. And the greatest gift that a father can give us is wisdom and love. The problem is that we have to get out of our own way to understand both of those things. We already have the answers. He gave me the answer 3 weeks earlier before Thursday happened. But I had to get out of my own way to see it. Realizing that the validation does not come from the earthly body and the flesh. It comes from him. Dan said it. Pastor Charlie said it. Ron said it. Where do you think they got it from? It's the same thing he told me himself sitting in a chair out my back porch 3 weeks earlier. I had to get out of my own way. We have to get out of our own way to understand that it's not always going to be warm and gooey. We put ourselves in the position to learn on both sides. And if we're not willing to learn when it's bad, don't sign up for the good. Wisdom brings maturity. Maturity brings the ability to love at a deeper level and a deeper understanding. If we're not learning on both ends of the spectrum, we're not maturing. We're walking around as naive as we were in the beginning. Naive is warm and fuzzy and safe. The Father doesn't want us to be warm and fuzzy and safe. He wants us to be warm and fuzzy in His arms, in maturity. Because without maturity, we're not advancing His kingdom, we're advancing our kingdom because it's safer for us than it is for Him. That was good, wasn't it? If we allow Him to teach us and grow inside of us, the things that have been hindrances, errors, walls, chains will begin to release from our spirit, because the light inside of us breaks all covenants holding us back from what we have been called to do or be in His name. We put those walls up. We put those chains on. We put those shackles on. He knows where the key is. We know where the key is if we can get out of our own way to do it. He'll do it for us. We have to be able to be mature enough to sit there and go, all right, God, what do I do? Ask the question. This is a very hard lesson I've had to learn for many, many years. Because as a lot of people will tell you in this room, I am not all that in a bag of chips. Good point. Thank you. My point being, there are two ways that the Father looks at us. He sits there and He looks at us on a bigger scale than we see ourselves. We're willing to be humble and go, oh, Daddy loves us, but not willing to be humble when we get bigger than He thinks we are and He knocks us down a peg, and then we get all self-righteous about it. If we listen to Him speaking to us, we'll have an easier time recognizing His gifts and who we truly are in Him. But we have to be willing to listen, even if it's just not the same way that everybody else listens in this room. We all hear differently. We all listen differently. We are real good about acting all shy and humble and all shucks when someone compliments us on our journey. But we're not willing to learn when it bucks the trend to what is safe and comfortable for us. I used to love safe and comfort. I don't like safe and comfort anymore because I don't learn anything on that. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Verse 4, for just each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not have all the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. Verse 7, if it is teaching, then teach. Verse 8, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I have struggled with something since we started this prophetic school, and I got called out on the carpet by it. I have asked since we started prophetic school to learn how to speak in tongues. I have not gotten that gift, and I have struggled with it since we've gotten that. And Rodney and I had that conversation. Charlie and I have had that conversation. And I sat there, and I made the comment to the Lord. I said, Lord, if I'm not speaking in tongues, I guess I'm not worthy. And He laughed at me. There's a common theme. There's a common theme. He laughed at me. And He said, where have you come from since you started your journey? And I answered the question. He goes, you asked for a spiritual father, I gave you one. You asked for a healed relationship, I gave you one. You asked for a new house, I gave you one. You asked for a new home, I gave you one. What more am I going to have to give you until you realize you're worthy? It's not about the gift. It's not about the competition. If we look at where we are going into our next chapter with Casadega, we all have our lanes. We all have our gifts to provide to that journey. Go too early, we miss the boat entirely. Wait too long, God's going to get it completed anyway. It just won't be through us and we lose our chance. Mumble it up and think that everybody needs to be at the gate of Casadega sitting there going, all right, let's go. We're going to do more harm than we're going to do good. It's not about having all the gifts. It's about understanding the gift that you have is just as important as the person next to you. The word humble originates from the Latin word humus, which means ground. He's keeping us grounded on our journey and mission, because without a stable foundation on the ground in this house, we won't build his kingdom, we'll build our own. Yes. Recognizing his gifts to us and realizing who we are in him should click in our spirit that the Father wants the strongest relationship with his children, regardless of who, what, and where we have been, him in us and us in him. Yes. If we are not willing to get right with God, in our own bodies, don't expect the relationships around you to be just as good. It starts with us. It starts with us getting out of our own way. It starts with us understanding that we are just as important and just as worthy. I look at that every time I come in here on Sunday, and it took until this week to realize what that meant. It's not a competition. This is family day. And every one of us have a gift in this house to complete any mission the Father sends us on. We have to be willing to get out of our own way to do it first. And if we're not willing to do that, he'll pick somebody else, because it's not about us in the first place. His relationship protects us and guides us individually and as a body in him. There is a reason why Karen and Ron have not brought Pastor Charlie to Casadega. There's a reason for that. Not because he'd do anything that would mess it up. That's not the point. All right, maybe he would a little bit. We're gonna go past that. But he's not there out of disrespect. He's not there out of keeping him shielded. He is there to keep him shielded, but he's there because in order for our kingdom, the Lord's kingdom, to grow, he needs to be able to send out a sheep to do it. Because if he's doing it himself, what's the point of us being here in the first place? He could do it without us. It's already won. We heard that from Lewis last week. It's already ours. It's not about Pastor Charlie. It's not about us. It's not about Casadega. It's about staying in your lane and understanding that the gifts that you have individually are what's going to win this journey and win that kingdom over. He's already got it. We have to be willing to get out of our own way to do it too. When I finished this and I sent it to Pastor Charlie and I was all proud, I was like, oh, Daddy's going to be happy. And then I realized that it wasn't about that. It wasn't about him and I. It wasn't about our relationship. It wasn't about him being my spiritual father. It was about the fact that as soon as I sent it to him, the Lord said to me, he'll tell you he's proud of you because he is proud of you, but I'll do one better. I'm proud of you too. And then I said, you know, it's not about pride for me. It's a pride of being able to affect the community, being able to let down the walls of this community, let down the shackles that by their own deal is on them. Being able to let them know that the conversation can be said. and they can be saved, and they can be walking in the same grace and glory that God gives us the chance to every single day. Timothy 1:7, 2 Timothy. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He gives us gifts every day. He gives us the opportunity to love. He gives us the opportunity to have relationships. He gives us the opportunity to increase in our love with Him and sitting on His lap. But the thing is, as we've talked before, it's not sweet little baby Jesus. It's the Lion of Judah that's sitting there ready to rip your head off if you're not going to do it the right way. You have to be willing to get out of your own way and listen to what He's telling you. I didn't for 3 weeks when He stood right there and sat in my chair. Because in my own mind, it wasn't real until it was validated in the natural. That's not the point. If I want a validation in the natural, go do something else. The validation was there 3 weeks ago. I had to get out of my own way and recognize that the gift was right there. If I put down the walls and listen to it. Proverbs, I'll close with this. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. I used to fail tests all the time, as I'm sure most of us have. That's natural. Are you willing to get back on the road and put yourself in harm's way for the same test? But understanding that you failed the test the first time because you weren't thinking of it the right way or you weren't listening to what He was telling you. We already have all the answers to the test. We already have all the answers to the test in the natural. Say that for me. We have all the answers. If we listen to what's in our hearts, in our souls, and in God. Understand that. Understand that He's proud of us. Understand that if we stay in our lanes and do this the right way, and don't drive backwards with the brakes on, and don't hit trees. If we stay in our lane and do this the right way and listen to the fact that Papa's always going to be proud of us, as one house and as one community, we will increase His kingdom.
Pretty quick on a prophecy from Thursday. Yeah. All right. Did you enjoy that? That's family. And listen, we're going to go to a new level here. Glenn and Vivian, come. Tad talked about gifts, and these two are gifts. They carry regional authority in Western New York. They carry regional authority in the nation. And it's not a coincidence they're here today.
Good morning. We're honored to be here with you guys. It is on. Okay. Here we go.
Hello? Oh, yes. God bless you all. We are thrilled to be in Florida, leaving behind a little bit of snow and cold. But I always send out a lot of text messages, a lot of emails to say, let the love of Jesus warm you. Let His power touch you. Don't be disturbed by all the cold weather and all the dismal reports that we're getting, especially from Albany and other places, as you well know. We've been in many battles in New York State, as I'm sure you've been in Florida. But for some reason, and I know there's many reasons that Governor Cuomo had passed a law, of course, with the abortion issue being later and later, and now our future generation is under great attack. So it's interesting that we're here today as family, because the conception begins, you know, life begins at conception, and that's been my burden now. The Lord has given me a heart for the babies, for the babies in the womb. And it's intercession and prayer that's going to bring forth the birthing of the miracles. And so we're calling forth an awakening. At least I know Glenn and myself and other strong intercessors, we say, no, not on my watch. Wait a minute here. What's going on here? And he gives us a glimpse and says, look into my face, look into my eyes. I'm crying and weeping more than you are. The Lord is weeping over many things more than we are, and he's giving us his heart to intercede, to pray, and to say, Lord, awaken the body of Christ. And I'm not saying, and when I came in here, all I could feel was the glory of God. I'll be honest with you. I felt an open heaven. I couldn't stop weeping. And you guys are on the right track. You got, there is a flowing here in the presence of God, and I felt such love and acceptance and warmth. And every time it's a Sunday morning when we have services throughout the nation, everything, I always pray, Lord, open heaven. And open heaven over this body, and open heaven in Florida, California, New York, wherever we go. But you guys are a blessing, and I just feel more and more that the Lord is going to do more than you can imagine. And the best is yet to come, even though we see the darkness increasing. We were in Dulles Airport, delayed for hours. But God gave us a great divine appointment. And so sometimes we think, oh my goodness. But the darkness there was so great next to Washington, D.C. And I thought, oh my Jesus, help us. Lord, help us. And as our brother shared, it's if we will get out of the way and let him do the work, we're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders as his people intercede, as we're on our faces, crying out to God. And I believe the word the Lord gave me this morning in my spirit, And I'm just going to share it with you, is desperation. I'm desperate for more of God. I'm desperate for a move of God, because it's getting darker and darker. But as Isaiah 61:3 talks about, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And when you go into places and you think, oh my gosh, how are we going to see these people saved? We have all power and authority. We don't have to shrink back, but we can step in and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Show us the strongholds. Show us what's going on. And we're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders, because he's a mountain-moving God. My husband is a researcher, an expertise in researching. I'm his prayer partner, and he's given me a call to pray for him and to pray for many things. So you're going to be blessed as he shares.
Well, it was interesting when I, before I came here, the Lord gave me a word for the church, but while I was sitting there in worship, he gave me another one. So that was kind of strange, but both the person that testified and you when you spoke kind of confirmed that. When you spoke about God using the trials and the things that we may, think are difficult to really be a blessing to us. And the scripture he gave me in worship today was this. And I'll tell you what he said to me after I read the verse. It's in Psalm 42, verse 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. And this is what the Lord said to me. The breakers are coming to this house. And what he means by that, this is what I heard. He said, the word is going to get stronger and stronger, and it's going to hit you like a wave. And you're like, you might not like the word, but if you will embrace the breaker that's coming over you, it'll break the junk off of your life, the things that are holding you back. But at the same time, God is saying those breakers are come to refresh you. So if you allow the thing to challenge you, it's actually going to refresh you. And God's going to do a powerful breaking. The breakers are going to bring the breakthrough, the Lord said. So embrace the breaking that's coming, as the word's going to come through Pastor Charlie. It's going to come through others that God sends this house. But one by one, God is going to break through those things, those strongholds in your mind, even the things that you've grown up with, that you've been used to. God is saying it's bigger than you, because as our brother said, it's not about you. He made that very clear. So I feel like the Lord is speaking this house, just get out of the way. And if God tells you to do something, you be obedient. Don't wait around till 3 hours later. If he says do it, you go out there and you do it. So I'm going to share something real quickly, and I'm going to hit it quick. So if you need details on this, I can send it to Pastor Charlie, but I'm just going to hit it quick. The Lord has shown me over the years that there's such a connection between New York and Florida. And he's even confirmed it even greater when I've been down here. Through another guy that's involved in ministry, he was taking me around Orlando, and we were looking at different spots. And we went to this place called Fort Gatlin. Fort Gatlin is where the first fort was in Orlando. And what was significant was this was the first place of settlement, but his great-great something was the founder of Orlando, actually. So it's just really incredible being with this person. And as we were reading, because I knew that there was a connection between Rochester and Sanford, Florida, and also DeLand, and also Casadega, and all that stuff, you know, positive and negative. So anyway, we're looking at the sign, and it said Sanford, Florida had the first floor for, and then they actually had sent a group of people from Sanford, the fort that was there, I can't think of the name of it, and it was, they sent the troops over into, which is now Orlando, which is Fort Gatlin, to establish that fort. So anyway, Lord's been showing us about the connection. In the 1950s, a major contingency of African Americans came leaving Sanford, Florida, for Rochester. And with all that occurred a few years back here in Sanford, in our newspapers, there were even these headlines of all the people that traced their lineage to Sanford, Florida, and what their family was saying that was left behind there. So, I mean, there's a major, you know, connection. And in DeLand, the founder of DeLand came from a suburb. It's just directly to the east of Rochester called Fairport, New York. Henry DeLand was the founder, which came down and established DeLand, and then he had Stetson University and all that other stuff. But interestingly enough, after he came down here, he came back up to Fairport, and I just found out today he's buried in Fairport. So again, connection back and forth into the area. But anyway, the word that the Lord told me to give to you today was this: to waken the watchman here. God is saying that many people have, you know, grown tired here in Florida. That I've seen that there's a very fast lifestyle. I feel like it's like New York on steroids here, and it's just really, it's much warmer, but a lot of the things feel very similar when I'm down here. It really does. It feels like I'm back. I don't feel like I'm out of my spiritual environment being here. But anyway, Joel 3, verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near and let them come up. God is saying, don't fall asleep, but gird yourself up and prepare like you're going to battle. Do not be complacent, is the word the Lord gave me. Do not be complacent. Do not be sleepy. Do not be timid, but be bold when the Lord has spoken to you. Be wise when you go to war. Go to war with someone else. Don't go out there and battle all alone, taking all the hits for yourself. I'm praying that the Lord will raise up warriors. And one of the things I feel like, it says a cord of three strands is not easily broken. One of the things I feel like is, obviously the Lord is on our side, right? So that's part of the cord. But I feel like Florida and New York, as intercessors, will gather and pray that we will have victories on both sides, north and south, as we link together. And that word in Psalm 133, it says, you know, how, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, is like the precious oil that come out of Aaron's beard and run down on the head. That word unity there does not just mean unity. It actually means oneness, that they be one. So God doesn't want us just to agree, but he wants us to link up with him together so that we come forth as one. So that if you're going into battle against the enemy, all the enemy's going to see is Jesus. And he's going to run in terror because we're one. We're not all, I'm over here, you're over there. I'm black, you're white, I'm Hispanic, I'm this, I'm poor, I'm rich, I'm small, I'm tall, I'm, you know, a female, male, you know, child, you know, old person. We are all needed together in the kingdom of God. And one of the things that the Lord is really trying to do in this hour is unite the body of Christ, to let us see that, you know, we need each part to do what he's calling us to do. And your part is needed. And you might think, oh, I only have like this much. But you know what? That much, if it's not used, people are missing out on that little bit that you have. So God's saying, be faithful. Wake up and don't say, I'm not important. You're all important. And I think it's very powerful that your church is called Identity Church, because one of the things that I've been doing over the past few weeks, we're doing a series called Healing the Orphan Spirit. And I'm doing it with a men's group. And God wants to break off that orphan spirit where we feel it's all up to us and we're all alone in the world. We live like we don't have a Heavenly Father that really loves us. And some of us have had bad fathers. We've had bad mothers. We've had bad friendships, bad relationships. Some people have been divorced or very wounded by other people in relationships. And it really hinders us in the body of Christ from stepping out and loving each other. But God is saying, trust me first. If you're trusting him, you're not going to worry about who's treating you bad, who's going to hurt you. You just continue to love, because that's what's going to transform our world. And God is just saying, be the conduit of change by being one who loves and is open to sharing the good news of Jesus. So that's my word today, is awaken.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. What do you do with that? You just come to agree with it.
There was one more thing. The Lord just corrected me. The Lord told me that I need you to. We need to repent, because this is where the orphan spirit comes in, here in this land. We in New York, as being the fathers who brought that to you, abused you and opened you up to this counterfeit spirit. And when I was studying about Henry Deland, he wanted to make this the Athens of the South. And if you read about Athens, it talks about all the types of witchcraft and all this stuff. I believe even Deland opened the way for Casadega to occur because of his vision. So I'm encouraging you, to, as you do that research, to not do one without the other, because they're connected. And the Lord may not even have you go right into Casadega right away. He may have you go into Deland first and do some warfare, because one thing is tied to the other. And as you weaken the powers in Volusia County, yeah.
Deland is the county seat.
Yeah. So I wanted to stand, and I pray that you guys can stand as we kneel. We need to kneel and repent for bringing the spirit into your territory. So, Father, right now, I repent for the forefathers, for Henry Deland, and all the other people that brought the spiritualist movement from Lilydale, New York, into Casadega, Florida. Lord, we repent for dumping our trash on the land and polluting it, God. God, have mercy upon us, Lord God. Have mercy.
Lord, thank you for your cleansing, Lord God. And you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek your face, then you will heal the land. You will heal the land. And Lord God, we thank you for even during this time of repentance, Lord, we've asked for forgiveness, Lord God, that you will do a washing and cleansing over Florida, over Casadega, over DeLand, and give the intercessors here great wisdom and discernment as they go marching on the land, and you're going to download things to them even more and more. And we thank you, Lord, for the same thing to happen in New York, for a mighty army to be raised up as well.
Thank you. And I need to find somebody that's been in the land, in either DeLand for a long time, or somebody that lives near Casadega, or both. If you come forward, if you have, there we go. Come on,
that's even better.
Yeah.
And I would like you to just extend your forgiveness to us, and then I have one more thing, and then I'm done.
Well, you asked me to give my forgiveness to the Lord, and to you guys.
Yeah, as we're representing.
We receive the repentance.
Lord, as me and my friends sit here for Lake Helen and DeLand, Lord, we receive the forgiveness that was asked for, and we break the legal stronghold that the enemy would have, because we come into agreement that your blood gave us the ability to repent for the sins of the generations beyond us, so we could sit into a new seat of authority. And so as Lake Helen is represented, as DeLand is represented, we receive the forgiveness, and we take the legal paperwork from the enemy's hands, and we say release freedom, and release grace, and release mercy upon the land, and let righteousness rule in Jesus' name.
Now I have to release something redemptive toward you. And I don't know if you, some may know this, some may not, but in 1830 and 1831, Charles Finney came through our city. And it is, if all people have studied the revival, it's the greatest revival that ever occurred in the United States. And it was a revival that awakened the church first, and caused them to repent of their own sins and their division among each other. And then they started calling the lost in. And there was such a move of the Holy Spirit that there was almost no crime in the city of Rochester, New York. We need a fresh move in our city again. But I want to declare that connection of transformation is upon you. So, Lord, we just declare that spirit of revival, that spirit of awakening and transformation is over the people here in Central Florida, Volusia County and Brevard County and all the neighboring territories. Lord, we just declare that there shall be a shift and a transformation, that your kingdom will be seen and manifested in the earth here, as the people of God, even in this room, go to their places of authority in their workplaces, their homes, their communities, that they will see a shift for the glory and the power and the majesty, might, and dominion of God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Okay. This is family day. We have some visitors all over the place, and we want you to eat first. So let's pray over the food. Lord, we thank you for the food that my wife has so graciously made. And every wife in here, every person in here, Lord, we just thank you for the food. We thank you that it is nourishment to our bodies, and it's nourishment to our souls. And we thank you that heaven rejoices when family comes together. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.